There we go.
So, you know, it's funny how things work, because I got my, I wasn't here for 2 weeks. We had a wedding in North Carolina, and then Chris and I went on a trip. And I got the schedule. The girls brought home last week, and I had devotions today, which is cool. So you're going to get a little devotion to begin with, just because God laid it on my heart. And we think of paradise, right? And how do we get there? How do we get there? Well, it's through the cross. Well, when Chris and I went to Mexico, and we flew in, and we were on our transit to our resort, man, I was looking at all these places along the side of the road, and it was nothing but brush. Nothing. There was one gas station. We drove about 26 miles. There was one gas station, a big cement plant, and just brush along the side of the road. Like, almost jungle. And I thought, how am I going to get to where... How is this resort going to be great? Okay, I walk into this resort, and I don't know what heaven for sure is going to look like. But I'm telling you, I thought I was in paradise. Marble floors, just all the way throughout. In the hallways, there was tropical plants in the middle. And I thought, you know, our life resembled that roadway. There's a bunch of junk. But when we get to paradise, we don't care how we got there. We don't care what we went through. Okay? And to make it simple, how do we get to paradise? I'm going to use Luke 23. And this is during the crucifixion. And I'm going to start in verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Guys, it's that simple. We have to ask Jesus into our hearts, and we have earned paradise through what he did on the cross. Okay, so that was my devotion. Now I'll get into the message, but I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just take me out of the equation, Lord, and give me the words that you want to be brought out today, Lord, and let the message be heard by those that need to hear it, and just highlight what you want to be highlighted today, Lord. Just have your way with me today, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So I also thought it was funny how all the songs we sang this morning led into what I'm going to talk about. But I also talked to Les between Sunday school and church, and he's got this book, and he says, "Look what we are doing for Sunday school, the purpose-driven life." And I said, "That's kind of funny, isn't it?" I said, "You know what I'm going to speak on today? 8 blessings we can experience by serving others." And guys, in that book, I think you're going to find that you're going to learn what your spiritual gifts are. And that's pretty cool. So we want our lives to matter. We want promotions at work. We want increase in position and pay. We want to make a difference. We want our kids to go to college to get a good job to make more money than we did. Am I alone there? No. While there's nothing wrong with wealth and money, but those alone do not change the world. Guys, we are the world changers. changes. And we do that through our church and through our Savior. We were made to build the church. It's funny, Paul went into Ephesians, and that's where I'm going to be. He went a little earlier than I did. I'm going to be in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11. I'll give you a minute to get there. But when we think of service, what do we think of? There are many different acts of service, right? It could be holding the door for somebody. It could be giving somebody that smile. It could be, working in a service field. A lot of us work in service fields. I'll use Matt as an example. If Matt does not do his job, there's no other jobs that can happen. Because the equipment's got to be serviced to work. Guys, our Christianity is the same. If we are not serving other Christians and our God, the system is not going to work the way it's supposed to work. The church is meant to thrive off of the people inside the church, all striving for the same goal. And we all have different things that we can bring to the table. Ephesians 4, verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What does that mean? It means, guys, there's people in this church that their job is to teach, is to instruct, is to develop other people in this church. We call that discipling. Right? And why do we do that? It was so that we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We do not want you to only get part of Christ. We want you to get the full measure. And it's here to hear. Verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up as each part does its work. We all have a different job. But as long as we're all growing towards our head, Jesus Christ, to make that body whole, that's what we want. So point number one, the first blessing. And the way we grow towards Christ is, guys, we got to use our abilities. We got to use our abilities. You know, not everybody can come up here and sing. Not me. Not me. You give me a guitar and it'll sound bad. Okay? Not everyone can get up here and speak. I still question that for myself. It's not me speaking, it's God, because I can't do it. Okay? But we all have to use our abilities. Some of us, we may love to cook. If we use our abilities to further Jesus Christ through that, perfect. That's a need. That's a need. Some of us are prayer warriors. Hopefully all of us are prayer warriors. Okay? We've seen it time and time and time again. When the church is asked to pray for something, it happens. Paul shared this morning. First blessing you'll get. Serving allows us to discover and develop our spiritual gifts. So how many of you don't know what your spiritual gift is right now? Good. Are you developing them? Are you enhancing them? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. It's chapter 12. I'm probably not going to read the whole chapter, but I might. It lays out here the gifts of the Spirit. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit of a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. What's all that saying? Guys, God gave you a gift. It's not going to be the same. My gift is not going to be the same as Doug's or as Norman's or as Renee's or as Shelby's. I mean, there's going to be some people in the church that have the same gift as you, but we can't compare what my gift is to what Doug's gift is. It's different. Are we using my gift? Am I using my gift? But we have to push and develop that gift. You know, if your gift is working with the children, perfect. God bless you. Okay. I did children's worship for a long time and I enjoyed it, but I felt like I was always the tyrant. And I don't like feeling like that. But God gives us each a different gift. And if we discover it and develop it, and we do that by being here, by being in Sunday school, by studying the Word, by praying over our spiritual gifts. Guys, if you never pray for God to reveal His spiritual gift to you, He's not going to. He's not going to. But if you pray for Him to reveal that spiritual gift so that you can use it to further His kingdom, it will be clear what your gift is. Okay, point number two. I love this one. Serving allows us to experience miracles. And for this one, I'm going to go to John chapter 2. And I'll just give you a little bit of background on this one. Jesus is at a wedding, right? And on the third day, listen, I went to a wedding. If I had to go to a wedding that took 3 days, I wouldn't go to too many. I was exhausted after this wedding. Just watching my three daughters think they can dance. And at this reception, they all three thought they could dance. And man, I'm telling you, it was exhausting. Mainly because they just thrash around. I don't know. Maybe they're good dancers. I don't know. I sat in my chair. But on the third day, a wedding took place. I misunderstood the scripture. A wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." I love Jesus' response. "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." And this, in Mary's response, it's kind of like all mothers, right? She looks at the servants and she said, "Just do whatever he tells you. He's going to fix it." Right? He's going to fix it. So nearby stood six watered stone jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding up to 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. So guys, here's everybody at that wedding did not know they were out of wine. That would have been an embarrassment to the master of the banquet or the father of the group, bride, right? You run out of wine at a wedding, whew. You run out of food at a wedding, whew. I have three of those, by the way. Oh, boy. It makes me hurt to think about it. But the people that are at the party, they had no idea they were almost out of wine. There was no last call. There was no... But who knew? Jesus and the servants. The servants that day experienced a miracle because they knew they were out of wine. And they knew that they put water into those pots. Guys, without serving, those people would have never experienced that miracle. Now, apply that to today. You know, for a lot of years, I've worked with kids and teens, and the thing that always comes back to me is I'll have a girl 20 years later say something to me that I might have said in a practice or after a game or in a youth group, and she said, "You know, that always struck with me." And this has happened. It's happened. It really blows my mind that because I was willing to do that to somebody, maybe I changed somebody's life. And that's pretty cool. But that is service. We can't experience the miracles that God can do unless we're willing to serve. Point number three. Serving allows us to experience the joy and peace that comes from obedience. Guys, here's what I want you to understand. God calls you to serve. He doesn't say, "Come to church." He says, "Go get involved in a church surrounded by other Christian people. I'm going to give you this spiritual gift, and I want you to use it." He doesn't say, "Come sit in the pew and listen to a guy ramble on." He says, "Go get involved in a church and use your gift." 1 Peter chapter 4. verses 10 and 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If you should speak, you should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If you serve, you should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Guys, understand that when we serve, we're showing God's grace. Because we should not have the gift that we have. We are sinners covered by that cross. We should not have the spiritual gift and the abilities that God has given us. But we do because of his grace. And our job is to show God's grace and God's love to the world. How do we do that? We serve. Number four. Serving helps us be more like Jesus. You say, how does that happen? Well, we're going to look at Matthew 25, one verse. verse 40, the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of the brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." What happens when we serve? When we have a true servant's heart, what happens to us? We transform, right? We shift from thinking about ourselves all the time to thinking about others. Here's the part that I like. I'm going to have to blow. I will mute it. Can you hear me now? I hope this isn't the Mexican flu. I don't think it is. But here's what really happens is when we serve others, we start to see other people as Jesus sees other people. So even though we're doing a service for somebody else, it's changing me. Okay? And we start to see Jesus in other people. That's the beauty. Because guys, I'm a good nitpicker. Ask my girls. I am a good nitpicker, right? Well, Morgan, you did good on chores, but why isn't this sheet bucket full? Or why isn't this done? Or why isn't that done? But man, when I start going down to the barn and helping her, I think, oh my gosh, this kid does quite a bit down here, right? So I start to change the way I look at things and the way I look at people. And now all of a sudden, I start to see that Morgan's actually done a pretty good job. Okay? So we start to see Jesus in others. Blessing number five. I love this one. Serving surrounds us with other Christians who can help us follow Jesus. Guys, if we don't pour into somebody, we're never going to have that tight-knit group that the Bible wants us to have, that Jesus wants us to have. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Guys, with the community, we feed off of each other. Okay? And if we're all not experiencing our spiritual gift, and we're not all working on serving other people so that we can see a change in us and we can see a change in that person, we're not doing all we can do for the kingdom. Plus, it makes our Christian walk easier because we have other people that have gone through the same experiences or the same trials. Guys, God could have said, hey, every Sunday morning I want you to wake up and I want you to worship me at home, and that's it. Do it. I don't want anybody else to know you're worshiping God. But he didn't. He put us in a community. He gave us a church building so that people know on Sunday morning they can stop here and they can worship God with a community of believers. That's pretty cool. And we do that by building relationships, by serving one another in the church and in the community. Number six. Serving increases our faith. And the verse I'm going to use is Ephesians 3. Maybe Paul already read it. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Guys, when I say serving increases your faith, you're going to look at me like, what are you talking about? It does. As we learn our spiritual gifts and as we expand our spiritual gifts, God is going to put us into positions that, frankly, we're not comfortable with, right? He's going to grow us. And as our faith grows, our service grows. As our service grows, our Christianity grows. It's pretty cool how it all works. But it says, we, to him who can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Guys, think about that for a second. You worry about $25 here, $25 there. God can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. It's in the Bible. It's true. Okay? Don't leave anything unasked. I'm not going to get everything. But he can. We need to understand that by our faith growing, the more we believe, the more God's going to do for us. The more we can do for God. And he can do immeasurably more than we can even imagine. So can you imagine that? Huh? I have limitations. Right? Man, with God, I might not have any. God may say, man, I want to do this with you. Yeah, no thanks. Right? And I always thought that about the mission field. There's no way. And I still think that. I'm not uprooting now at 40 something. And moving into a mission field, but I sure do support the missions more than I did at 20 years old, because it's important and those people are using their spiritual gift. here's the other thing about that blessing is when we serve and it increases our faith, we start looking for new doors instead of trying to push in the ones God has closed. Have you ever done that? Me? Good, I'm the only one. And when God closed the door, I'm like, got my foot in there so you can't slam it all the way, because I'm not sure. God, are you sure you want to close that door? But as my faith has grown, I've learned to accept when God shuts the door, man, he's opening 10 more. I just got to go through one of them. Right? Number 7, serving allows us to experience God's presence in new ways. Encouragement and healing go hand in hand. As we encourage others and they find healing, we are encouraged. You understand that? As we encourage someone else and they go through a period of healing, we become encouraged. That's kind of cool. What does encouraging someone look like? It'll be different in every situation. There's a lot of situations. But I'm telling you, don't be the one that doesn't say an encouraging word for somebody or tell somebody good morning or, you know, tell somebody, you know, have a good day or whatever. Those are simple. Those are simple. Yeah, I don't know how Matt gets anything done, because here's what I envision Matt doing. Turn the wrench, see one of the drivers over there kicking the tire and going over and putting his arm around him and saying, buddy, it's okay, we're going to get this fixed and you'll be right back to work. And I don't know how he gets anything done, because Matt's an encourager. Okay? I want to be an encourager. Sometimes I have a negative attitude that stops me from encouraging people. But as I read through this and I'm prepared for this, I learned it. I mean, if I encourage and I see somebody go through something, I get encouraged. This plan's amazing. This plan is amazing. Number 8. Serving is good for the soul. Studies have shown that serving is so good that for your mind and body that it can ease symptoms of stress and depression. Huh? So if I take a little bit of time out of my day, and I'm having a bad day, but I take a little bit of time out of my day, and I serve someone, or I do something for someone, or I say hi to someone, that can relieve my stress and depression. Why don't we all do it? Instead, we go to the doctor and get put on a pill. Right? Guys, let's strive to serve. Let's strive to serve. And, I don't know what study that is. I don't know what the percentage of... I mean, I'm not saying don't take your medicines, for crying out loud. Don't do that. But... if you think about it, it's probably true. Because if you go help somebody else through a bad day, what are you doing? You're forgetting about your bad day. And then by, you know, leading somebody a little deeper into the Lord, you're taking your mind off of whatever it is that's weighing you down. Okay? So when you serve, it makes you forget about your woes. And it can be a distraction from our own worries when we serve. However, what do? We all come up with reasons why we can't serve. Right? I'll list a few. I just don't have any time. I'm too busy. I can't do that. I don't have that skill set. I don't know what I would do. They don't really need me. Guys, how many times have we seen something fail in our lives because we were one set of hands short? Or we were, you know, one person taking a rotation short. And what happens is somebody else takes that rotation, and then serving becomes no fun because they feel like they're overworked. So then when serving becomes no fun, what happens? We're not encouraging the people we're serving. Therefore, we're not getting encouraged at the end. So it's a vicious cycle. Guys, don't look for excuses. He gave us the reason. He gave us the reason to serve. Because we want to end in paradise. All we have to do is ask for it. All we have to do is ask for it. The reality is this. I love this one. God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. Guys, God is not going to put you in a situation where He cannot pull you through it. You may think there is no way I can do that. And I thought that, and thought that, and thought that. And you all may think, yeah, Matt, you can't do this. That's fine. But you know what? I feel like God's equipping me to get up here and deliver at least a message that I understand and that I need to apply to my life. Quite frankly, if none of you all get anything out of it, that's okay, because I'm getting something out of it. So I'm serving myself and my God. Okay? And if we think back through the Old Testament, and I'm going to close with this. We think back through the Old Testament, all the men and women that God used that did not think they were equipped for what God was telling them to do. Moses. God wanted Moses to go speak to the ruler of Egypt. And Moses stuttered and stammered and didn't like to speak. And what did God do with Moses? Well, He, you know, delivered Israel. Okay? How about David? I spoke on David a little while ago, having a servant's heart. How about David? David was the youngest of seven or eight brothers. And he wasn't equipped to be the king. But he was equipped because he had a heart to do it. And he understood what God was asking him to do. And David failed a lot, right? Guys, can we apply David to our lives today? I fail a lot. But God is going to use me to do something. I'm not saying it's going to be something great, but God's going to use me to do something. If it changes one person, perfect. How about Paul? Paul's a funny guy. You know, Paul used to persecute everybody. Right? If you were a Christian, Paul was going to throw some rocks at you. He did not like Christians. Paul went through a transformation. Paul became centerpiece for the church. And he died serving his God. Now, none of us are going to have to die, hopefully, serving our God. But you never know. You never know. And why service, Matt? I'll close with this. When we were in Mexico, a place like this, they had, I don't know, 300 rooms or whatever. There's a lot of service that goes on because you don't... Honestly, it was like paradise. I did not have to lift a finger. I didn't have to make my bed. Didn't have to clean my room. All I had to do was get my lazy butt out of bed and go sit by the pool. or go walk on the ocean, or go eat a buffet, or whatever. But it was about 85 degrees, and we had a guy that took care of us at the pool, and this dude come around every 25, 30 minutes. You guys need anything? Yeah, he'd bring us a couple bottles of water. He'd bring them. I'd give him a dollar. You thought I gave him $1 million. But he had a servant's heart, and he loved what he was doing. Now, if they can do that, can't we serve our God? Can't we serve our God? I'm telling you, the people that cleaned the rooms, they were happy. I was amazed by the people because they were doing jobs that nobody else wanted to do. Guys, God is not asking us to do a job nobody else wants to do. That was already taken care of. He asked his son to do that. All we have to do is serve our God in whatever capacity we know our gifts are given to us. And there's no shame. If God gives you a gift and you don't think it's, if you think it's minuscule, it's not. It's a purpose. Use it. Use it. With that, I'm done. I've went way over. Of course, we didn't get started on time, so I'm going to blame it on that. Guys, serve with a grateful heart and serve everyone. Not just the people inside these four walls. We need to serve everyone and with a grateful heart. And if we can do that, we can change the world. Because nobody's willing to do it. Okay? Serve with a grateful heart. The worship team will be here. Wes and Jesse and I will be here. If you need prayer for anything, if you need help with something, if you need guidance, don't come to me. Come to Wes. No, I'm kidding. But please feel free to use us. We love to pray for you. We love to lift you up and see the rewards you get because that encourages us as well. With that, I'm done. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the examples you've shown us and the examples that you've already put into play in the Bible, Lord. And we thank you for just giving us our gifts and letting us experience our gifts and letting us experience the pleasure from our gifts. And we thank you for your Son who died on the cross, Lord, so that we could be in paradise with you someday. In your name we pray. Amen.